Please be seated.
Well, good morning, one and all. Again, nice to be back with you here in Burnet. Last week, Gene and I made a trip to Home Depot in Georgetown to pick up some, they're kind of 12 by 12 concrete blocks for our backyard walkway, which we're both working very hard at. Gene's doing it. At the checkout counter, the clerk asked if we needed some help loading the blocks into the car. Well, of course. As we arrived at the car, a young man in the Home Depot orange vest came running across the park, not walking, running across the parking lot to where we were parked. And as he loaded the blocks, I noticed his name on his vest, Obed. Obed. O-B-E-D, Obed. After he finished putting the blocks in, I said, well, ask him about his name. I was curious because I was thinking it was an abbreviation of Obadiah. Obadiah from the Old Testament. Obadiah is a biblical name which means servant and slave of God. There's also one in Arabic, Obadiah, but it's Abdullah. Abdullah means the same, slave and servant of God. He said, yes, that he agreed with that. He said, I am a servant of God. He said, but I'm not Jewish, I'm Christian. And then he proceeded to ask us what we thought the biggest challenge to Christians was in this day and age. Now here you go, how often do you ever get into a big theological discussion in the parking lot at Home Depot? Yeah, I mean, wow. I said, well, I kind of shrugged. We're living through some tough times. And he said, yes. And forcefully he answered, all is vanity. Of course, I immediately thought of the biblical reference in Ecclesiastes where Solomon preaches, oh, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Obed then went on to proclaim to both Gene and I, all is vanity and that the world is going to come to an end in 2 years. Gene and I looked at one another and I said, well then why the heck are we building this walkway? I tell this story because in today's gospel, Jesus and his disciples, Peter, James, John, Andrew, all the guys, you know, they're standing before the great temple in Jerusalem. Now realize, Solomon built this temple, and then it was wars back and forth. It's all torn down. But then along comes Herod the Great. And Herod, big time, not only rebuilt the temple, but he expanded it. And he had thousands and thousands and thousands upon people working on this thing. I even read somewhere where one of the stones that was moved weighed 3 tons. How do you move a 3-ton stone? Jesus' reaction, you know, so the guys are standing there like with their mouths open, yeah. You know. Jesus' reaction is quite different though. He's kind of like Obed, he says, take heed, folks. There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And then he goes on to issue this whole list of what we might call apocalyptic doomsday predictions. False prophets, wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation. The sun shall be darkened, famines. So, the apostles, and I think Gene and I in our encounter with Obed, and like y'all I suspect, are not real comfortable with these proclamations. Apocalyptical proclamations. Gathering We're not real familiar with like gathering on the lot behind the church and waiting for the rapture. You know what the rapture is? Yeah, you've heard of the rapture? Yeah. It's the last time and all come together and we'll rise up with the Lord. Should I tell the story? There's a lady in our retirement community back in Oregon, and she was in the care facility, and she thought the rapture was coming. And her friend was talking to me, and she said, she's waiting for the rapture. I said, well, you know, she knows that Michael and Jesus are going to show up. Michael the archangel and Jesus are going to come. So, okay, so anyway, we talked about it. But this woman, her friend, says, I'm going to do something. I said, what? I'm going to have Jesus come. So she hired this guy to come, and he walks in. I think Margaret was her name. And anyway, she said, Margaret, Jesus is here. It's time for the rapture. And Margaret says, oh, no. My hair's not done. Anyway, we only have 2 years left. And yet before we scoff at all of this, we might reflect that we are living in quite difficult times. Rather than go, let's say, go 2 years forward, how about just going 2 years back? Who would have thought in our time that we'd come face to face with a worldwide pandemic and not over yet? Been over 5 million deaths. We've had 30 named hurricanes, 6 of them pretty major. It's according to National Oceanic and Atmospheric, anyway. 68 earthquakes. And of course, we follow the news, global warming, Glasgow, and they're finally come to some kind of agreement, and half are not satisfied, and the other half, and war and rumor of wars. Jesus says, I counted there have been 17 armed conflicts started anew, just brand new, in the last 2 years. And that doesn't include the ongoing battles that have been going on, you know, for years and years and years. And I could go on and on. Actually, historians, anthropologists, socio-psychologists tell us that we, you and I, are living in an intense period of what's called liminality. Oh, that's a big word. I had to look it up too. So. It's a period of ambiguity and disorientation. Huh? You feel it? It's kind of like standing in the middle of a hallway and you don't know what, you'd kind of know what where you came from out the door at the end of the hall. You kind of know that, but you don't know what's down there, and you don't know what's in the doors all along. Hey, are there windows? You know, you're looking around. Here I am. I'm standing right here. Which direction do you go? And all of this then causes what that other commentators have said is fatigue. We're tired. We have tech fatigue, decision fatigue, relationship fatigue, political partisan fatigue. We're just kind of fed up with all the, I won't say it. So folks, what do? This is not a new problem. Jesus, the apostles, and down through history, and in 2011, one guy says, the world's gonna end on September 18th, something like that, so y'all come. And we'll have the rapture and y'all be living it up. And then he changed his mind, it's going to be October. And people gathered and, of course, nothing happened. What do we do? I'd suggest Paul has an answer in that reading from Hebrews today. Paul says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. He who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke, I like that word, how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Doesn't mean everybody's going to meet together, but it's the habit of some, so let's do it. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, all the more as you see the day approaching. We're fatigued, we are stuck in the middle of the hall somewhere, and yet provoke one another to love and do good deeds. So yeah, but that is the old-fashioned virtues. Faith, hope, and charity. Folks, as I've mentioned, we've been to this rodeo before. And what has seen us through is our hope, is our faith, is our charity, and trust in God's love and grace unabated, God's love. There's a story about the great actor Charlton Heston, who in the making of the film Ben-Hur had to learn how to drive a chariot. After many weeks of practice, he came to the director, who was William Wyler, and he said, quote, "I think I've learned how to drive the chariot, but I don't know if I can win the race. I know, but I'm not sure I can win the race." Mr. Wyler put his hand on Charlton's shoulder, looked him in the eyes, and he said, "Don't you worry, Charlton. You just run the chariot, and I'll make sure you win." Run the chariot. God will make sure we win. It's trusting, it's being a people of hope and standing in the middle of the hallway and doing what we can. People always say, what can we do? Find out the local little thing you can do, whatever it is, in family or in community, and do it. And that's the way we will maintain a sense of hope and a sense of future. The question is, who's the director then of your life? By the way, P.S., in 6 weeks more, we should be really excited because we're going to have another rapture. What is it? Christmas. Jesus is coming again. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.